Blog Talk Radio
presents a bold radio show. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton. As you know, how are you? I hope everybody's good out there. It's Sunday. Was a gorgeous weekend. It's October, or should I say Rocktober? I love saying that. Anyway, if you listened in last night to my favorite dance club songs, I apologize for the sound quality. I'm going to get it right. I'm learning it myself. I figured out how to do it, and you're going to really enjoy the next two music segments that I have coming up for the month of Rocktober. But tonight, we've got with us director Sassy Moen, and we're going to talk about her new digital series. It's a comedy. I'm dying to ask about this. I can't even tell you. It's called How to Hack Birth Control, and it's a comedy, so I'm dying to ask. So welcome to the show, everybody. Sassy Moen. Hi, Sassy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? I love that intro, by the way. I was like laughing and grooving at the same time.
But it gets you psyched, right? Did it get you psyched?
Right.
That's what it's supposed to make you feel, because this is all about you, and that's your intro. Man, you're killing it, you know?
Thank you.
So I got to ask you, first I'm going to start with something really, really stupid and off the wall.
Okay.
Is Sassy your real name, or are you just Sassy?
I'll go with both. My first name is Sarah, but I started calling myself Sassy when I was 3, if you can believe that. I started just introducing myself as Sassy, and it kind of just stuck around. And by the time I got, you know, to high school, I just went with it. I was like, I feel more like Sassy than I do Sarah. So,
and
that's my name
you
now.
Know what? And there you go. Proof that you created yourself at a young age with that name. You became Sassy, which is so cool. And you just followed
right?
that name and followed your dream. How cool is that? That's nice.
For sure.
You created, you manifested your future. Look at that. Okay, so I got a lot to ask you about this new show that you're doing, the How to Hack Birth mm-hmm. Control. So did you have this in mind before everything went down, or did you just do this now?
Oh, I came up with this show in 2019. Actually, I do a lot of social media commercials, and a lot of those involve hacks. You know, like you've probably seen some of the ones I've done. It's just like they come up on Instagram and you scroll by them. But it's like I was doing all those commercials and I was like, there has to be like a way to utilize this for something that I'm passionate about. And I was like, how funny would How to Hack Birth Control be, right? Because so many women out there, I feel like, don't know how to get it, how cheap it and accessible it can be, and what their options are, and frankly, what questions to even ask. So I thought, you know, why not take some of these sort of tropes I've been doing for the social media commercials and apply them to a comedy yet educational digital series.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because I was like, now, what do you think? Do you think people are really, really going to have to worry about this someday, that they won't have access to birth control?
The short answer to that is yes. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of friends, especially younger friends, that I'm frankly very surprised how little they know about it. And it's not necessarily their fault at all. It's just they were never taught. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, what it was like when you were growing up, but I would assume that I feel like people our age and older, like, kind of know more. you know, as weird as that is to say, like, you think younger people with the internet and everything, it would be way more accessible to them. But I feel like today, with everything that's going on with the Supreme Court and Texas and, you know, across the country,
it's
even
crazy.
Across the world. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like, even, if you look at what's going on in Hungary and Turkey, you know, like, there's a big assault happening on women's rights right now, you know, and I could go on about this forever.
I know. And, you know, I don't even want to say it. It's even a matter of the word right. It's a matter of leave me the hell alone.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
Okay. You want birth control. Then what do you take the baby then?
Right. It's funny. I read this one meme the other day that was funny, and it was like, I'm paraphrasing, but it said, you know, in Texas, before you hook up with someone, you should ask them for $10,000 and, like, parental rights or something.
Oh,
so
my
that
God.
It's like, okay, if I'm forced to have a baby, you know, you keep it and give me $10,000.
Oh, that's
so funny.
Because
it's just like, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Women, it's our choice. That's what it comes down to, is that no matter what you believe, your personal beliefs, religious, your conscious choices, whatever it is, in terms of reproductive rights and the ability to give birth, you know, that's our individual choice. And that shouldn't be made by any other person, male, female, otherwise. It should just be accessible. Like, women, I went to the Women's March yesterday here in LA, which was really fun. And always so cool, right, to be around so many women who are just like, you feel that energy, you know, that really cool energy. And yeah, and like one of the things that one of the speakers was talking about is saying, you know, we won't be vessels of childbirth. Like, that's not our job here as women, you know. We're human beings, just like men. We are more than just means of procreation. And
right.
I feel like, you know, forcing women to have pregnancies is literally that. It's forcing them to be reproductive vessels. And I with How to Hack Birth Control, you know, I try to appeal to as many people as possible and show the spectrum of birth control, because it's not just about abortion, right? It's about condoms. It's about, like, where do you get the pill? How do you get the pill? What type of
right.
pill should you get? Like, you know, like, what type of birth control is right for you? And also, like, at least my series is also educating women on how to stand up for themselves and how to, you know, deal with people, whether it's a significant other or someone they're dating or someone around them who doesn't want them to make the decisions that they want. Because I think that so many women aren't taught how to stand up for themselves, because we're taught more to, you know, be seen and not heard from
yeah.
an early age.
See, I don't
know.
For me, I get, maybe it's because where I come from, you know, like New York area. I mean, this isn't, we don't even talk about this here. It's like, you know, we're
yeah.
normal. We live
yeah.
our lives.
Sure.
We live our lives as individuals
Absolutely.
Here. It's like, even with the masks and the vaccines, screw it. We
yeah.
do it. It's
right?
Nobody complained here. Nobody complained, you know? I mean, we did
well,
about, you
I
know,
mean,
some,
yeah.
no, I didn't. You know, but I'm just saying, we did have a small amount of people that complained about, oh, I can't go to a restaurant. Like, God forbid, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's like, oh, my God. But my thing is, it's like, okay, well, if you don't like abortion, then that's fine. That's you.
Then don't get one.
So why do you got to tell other people not to, you
yeah.
know, have kids or not to have kids? And it's none of your freaking business.
Yeah, and I also think that it's like, it's so hypocritical. I feel so many people pro-life, you know, spouting all these things about saving the unborn, and then they don't care when the person's born, right? There's
right.
no child care, there's no health care,
there's
no
nothing.
Public education for the child. Yeah, and it's like, if
nothing.
You really cared about these lives like you're spouting to, and these women can't, most women, I would guess, who have abortions for many reasons. A lot of it has to do with being able to afford to raise a child, right, in a healthy and happy environment that isn't detrimental to that child's well-being. And so if that's the case, then there should be a better social net for women who are forced to come to term with their pregnancies and forced to have these children. But there isn't. And their conservatives are actively trying to not make that happen. So for me, the whole pro-life argument, it just falls flat on its face, because it doesn't seem to be true. In my opinion,
which means absolutely nothing. I mean, I'm just a person, but I mean, I have one, but it means nothing. But keep religion out of politics and politics out of religion.
Totally.
I mean, that's it.
I was listening to this congressman on MSNBC the other day, and one of the reporters was asking, you know, you voted, he's a Democrat, and you voted against the, abortion rights bill that Nancy Pelosi is trying to get through. And she asked why, and he was like, well, you know, I voted with my personal beliefs. And I just hearing that from an elected official is like,
right.
But what about your constituents? Your constituents who elected you, you're supposed to be representing them. And he's saying that he voted with his conscious and religious beliefs. And I'm like, that's not politics. You know what I mean? You're not
right.
You're not benefiting your constituents who elected you to do so by voting to be by the church that you go to.
Right.
I mean,
you're voting. He's making this decision based on his beliefs, not even beliefs, but he needs to
all of them,
not even regard to the birth control, but and abortions. But they have to think of the American people, not themselves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what's going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
It's disgusting. Yeah. I can't take it anymore. I swear. I try not to get political. I really do. I try not to. This is not a political show because, my God, if it was, I could go on and on and on. But,
oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, and then I'm only get myself upset because, I mean, I love this country dearly. And for these people who think they're patriots,
Absolutely.
They're really fake-triots. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it either. Anyway, before I lose my mind, tell me how you make it funny then. How are you making such a serious matter or subject so funny?
Well, I have to preface this from, I am also a New Yorker originally. I'm originally from Queens.
Oh, cool.
There's something about maybe being from there, just the way I was raised or whatever, that I kind of find everything funny. Like, even terrible things. I'm like, if we're not here to be happy, like, what's the point, right? Like,
right.
You get one life. And it's not like I don't take things seriously. But when bad things happen, I'm sometimes like, this is kind of funny that Trump got elected. You know, like, it's like that movie Idiocracy literally came to life. And so the way that I kind of look at it with birth control is it's a very tongue-in-cheek where it's like, pointing out the obvious. Like one joke that I really like is after the lead is a narrator played by this phenomenal actress named Xanthi Page, and she is she's literally schooling a guy. They end up in a preschool. It's very funny. And at the end of it, he gives her $20 because he's paying for his half morning after pill, and she gives him a sticker that's like a prize sticker, and it says, "I did the bare minimum!" Exclamation point. You know, it's like stuff like that is just calling out the obvious of things, which is funny because it's like when you point at the absurdity and sort of just lay it out, it's funny because it's absurd. And that's how
letting people see how ridiculous this really is.
Mm-hmm. So that's how I make it funny. And, you know, and I layer it. I tried really hard to layer it with enough laughs and enough education so it's an easy watch. You know what I mean? Because there's so many things that I've seen about women's rights that are great, but they're extremely heavy-handed, which is fine because they should be, right? They're talking about important things. But to get a broad audience to watch, say, 2 hours of depressing is much harder than if you get an audience to watch 30 minutes of hilarity, right? Neither is better or worse. It's just a method of getting your message out there. And so that's why, you know, I went with comedy. Yep.
So, called How to Hack Birth Control, will I see pop-ups come up on the internet for how to hack?
Yes. Well, right now we are developing the entire How to Hack series, which we're going to begin pitching to some streaming networks, which I'm really excited about. We're about to make How to Hack Climate Change, How to Hack Voting. You know, I have another one that I'm not sure I'm going to dive into, but I'm going to say it out loud, so I probably will, which is How to Hack Disinformation. I mean, that one's like, oof, I don't even know if I can hack it, but I'll try.
Oh, girl, you're on a streak with this whole series of How to Hack.
Yeah. So we are going to have another public screening of How to Hack Birth Control on December 3rd. It's going to be online. And the reason we're having it that week is that is the week the Supreme Court starts hearing arguments on the Mississippi abortion law. And all the proceeds from this screening will be going to three women's groups, which are amazing women's groups, you know, Narrow, Pro-Choice America, She NYC Arts and Truth Be Told. And so we just did one this past weekend, which was so fun, you know, and it was great to though we're going to be doing that again in early December, but until the rest of the show is made and published, I can't put it out to everyone yet. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's going to be on streaming soon, which is really exciting.
Yeah, but God, you're going to be busy because you got all these hacks. It's like, you could go on forever. You can go on forever with the stupidity that's going on in this world.
Yeah, but I mean, if the progressives get their agenda across, maybe I won't have to, you know, but we'll see.
No, I think you still need it because sadly, you know,
yeah.
I don't mean any disrespect to anybody out there. I mean, I knew there were people out there that weren't too intelligent. I just didn't know how many until now, you know.
It's
scary.
I laugh again. Yeah, it's the only way I can deal with it. When I read some of the stuff, I'm just like, oh my God, like that's like crazy. Some people are just crazy.
Yeah. Well, speaking of all the projects that you're going to have coming up, I mean, you've done a lot already, and I don't usually like to tap into people's age or anything. Not that I'm asking, but you look very young, and it looks like your talent and your projects are surpassing your age.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem telling my age at all. I'm 34, and I started professionally directing 15 years ago with my first feature film I did at the end of film school, which is an independent film called Happy Holidays. And since there, I mean, I've wanted to be a director since I was a little kid, you know, shortly after, I guess, I changed my name to Sassy. I figured out that I wanted to be a director when I was really young. And I was fortunate that both my parents worked in the TV industry. They worked in the news. And so I was kind of just raised around, you know, like entertainment. We would go up to New York all the time because we moved to D.C. and go to Broadway shows and go to the indie theater, you know, in D.C. all the time. And so I've always wanted to do this. And because of that directive, I wouldn't even call it a leg up because I don't think I've ever gotten a leg up on anyone, but at least I knew what I wanted to do, you know, from the offset. So I had a lot of time, I guess, to do all these projects.
What did your parents do in the news area in New York?
In New York, my dad was a freelance audio, so he did so many cool things. He worked at MTV. He did Regis and Kathy Lee. He did the Letterman show. I actually still have a David Letterman sweatshirt of his I wear.
Oh, that's
funny. And then
in
D.C., yeah, he worked at CNN for 20 years as one of their lead audio engineers. So he did like all the State of the Unions and Larry King show and there. And I got to meet all those guys, which was really fun. And, you know, my mom worked at the local Fox News station as an archivist. And, you know, it was really cool growing up around the news like that and sort of watching it morph from, you know, the early 90s into the behemoth it is today.
Oh, I know, right? Oh my God, I know.
Yeah.
No, because I thought your last name sounded familiar when you said they were in the news industry on the over here, you know, in New York.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I knew the name, but that was
in New York.
Yeah. Well, being around all that stuff had to help a lot to you know, at least let you, like you said, a leg up. And I would say educationally, you had a leg up educational wise. That's for sure. You know.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Now, tell me,
what
was Happy Holidays about?
Oh, Happy Holidays is a feature film. It's a little romantic indie drama. I wrote it when I was 19, and, you know, it very much is written by a 19-year-old. So the perspective is a little 19-year-old-esque. But it's still really good. I mean, the composer of it actually is doing quite well for himself as well. His name's Ludwig Göransson, and he won the Oscar for Best Music for Black Panther, and he's currently playing The Mandalorian. Yeah, and a lot of the other kids involved in it, too, are doing really well in the industry, which I think really speaks for what the film was. Because when we made it while I was at Chapman University, and the school told me that it was too ambitious and I couldn't do it. And I was like, okay, well, now that you said that, I'm definitely going to do it because he told me I couldn't. And so we all kind of band together to make this film because, you know, in film school, film school is amazing, but you get certain opportunities that are very structured, and then you walk out of film school with the same thing as everyone else around you from your film school and USC and UCLA. And so I was kind of thinking, you know, how do I make a splash if I'm going to maybe have the same 10 minutes short as everyone else? So I thought I'd make a feature film, which was crazy, but I'm so glad that I did it. And so I found a bunch of other kids from my school and other schools who also share the same sentiment of, like, I'm here to learn, I'm here to make movies, and I want to challenge myself. And so that's what we did, is we challenged ourselves, and we made the film, and it turned a profit, and we got distribution, and I screened it across the country, which was really fun, and it was definitely like a little engine that could story to a very big extreme.
Nice. Who's got it better than you,
yeah,
huh?
Sure.
Cool. Nice. Now,
yeah,
tell me about Fear. Fear Actually. I'm curious to know about that one too.
Oh yeah, Fear Actually is a short film. I don't know if you like horror or not. It's
yeah, that's
comedy.
Why I'm asking, hon. That's why I'm dying to know.
It's a story about Pennywise the clown, and he's having an existential crisis because the world no longer gets their feargasms from horror films. They get them from the news. And so he and all the other horror news characters are trying to figure out, you know, their new place in this big wide world where no one's scared by them anymore. It's, you know, it's about his personal journey and his struggles.
No, isn't
and then
cool.
he overcomes.
Very
yeah,
cool.
And it's a comedy as well.
Yeah. Wow. Where'd you think
that
of that
definitely
one?
Fun.
Where'd you think of that,
that
one?
I came up, yeah, my friend of mine, Kyle, actually, he came up with the original concept, and then we workshopped the script together. So I can't take full credit for the original birth of the story, but it was really fun playing off that idea. I especially loved it because it was so different than anything I've ever done before. You know, like, even just in terms of the makeup alone, that was a trip working on it and just getting, you know, everyone in their full crazy setup, which was really fun. It was a great experience.
Did you have to get permission to use Pennywise?
We did not because I think it's like, it was, I mean, a satire. It's a satire, certain, you know, rules and parameters that you get with satires of artistic leniency.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing actually from it or anything like that. It's just the look and make of the character, and it's nothing. I would say he's very, very nothing in common with the Pennywise that you might be familiar with.
Okay, cool. I gotta ask you about Weedland. What is that about?
Weedland is actually one of my favorite things I've ever done, although I could say that about pretty much all of it. Weedland, it's a TV show that I came up with here. You know, I live in LA, and weed is now legal in most places, especially very legal here in Los Angeles. But when I came up with it, I was very intrigued because weed was sort of half legal, and there was all these weird loopholes and rules and laws that were very fluid and very hypocritical from everywhere, from the government, from the weed dealers, from the businesses. You know, it was all kind of this mesh of no one knew exactly what was going on, and everyone was trying to capitalize on it. So
right.
I came up with this story about a couple going through a bitter divorce, and what they do is they originally start a marijuana delivery place together, and then as they go through the divorce, the wife starts a rival one, and it's about kind of like a drug war that, you know, is also a manifestation of what they are actually going through. And I actually researched it by working at a few weed delivery services at night, because I was just like, well, I don't know what these places are like, and I don't want to write what I would guess they're like.
Yeah.
And so the story it morphed into a whole new thing when I experienced it at these different – I worked at four different places over the period of like 2 months, just, you know, on and off. And it was very interesting meeting the people who worked there, like types of people I would never meet normally, right? And just very interesting characters. There's a whole underground scene of people who are very into marijuana. And I don't mean that in like a silly way. You know what I mean? There's like a whole, like, there's music and clothing and vibes and, you know, slang and this whole really cool world of people that are predominantly very friendly, except a lot of the people trying to make money off of those people are not so friendly. And that's basically what I go into with Weedland, which you can check out online. That one you can check out online.
Cool. Yeah, it's so funny. I never thought I'd see the day where you could get a license, have a pot license, walk into a store and say, give me this, and buy pot at a store. I never, ever thought I'd see that day. It's just crazy. It is. I got no problem with it. You know, it's phenomenal. I mean, Jesus. I mean, think about 30 years. Well, you're 37, you said, right? Think about like 40 years ago when, you know, you had to go buy it quietly around by somebody. I mean, you still probably have to do that. I don't know. But, you know.
I mean, it's like here in L.A., you don't need a license anymore to buy it. You can just walk into a store like a 7-Eleven and just pick out what you want and just pay for it. All you need to do is be over 18 and have a valid state ID. I feel like I'm like being a spokesperson for the marijuana industry right now. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It's fully legal. It's not just medicinal, right?
Yeah.
It's fully legal. So you could just walk in a store and like buying a pack of cigarettes, right?
Totally. Yeah. Then they got everything. They got, you know, they got sodas. They got wine. They got Listerine strips. They got chocolate. They got grass. They got vapes. You know, it's like this literally like, what's your fancy? We probably have it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well,
and
they
regulated.
Supposedly they legalized it here, but I haven't heard anything since, you know, where you could get it, when you could get it, how much they're going to charge you for it. I have no idea. All I know is it was voted on, approved, and all towns are saying they don't want it, they do want it. I don't know. Another bullshit.
It's making so much revenue. Yeah.
Yeah. But another bullshit thing to have to talk about. It's like, my God, can we just live our lives? Just let people live their lives.
I know. And it's like crazy, too. Like, with legalizing it, it has, like, there's laws now about, like, what chemicals can be in it and how strong it can be and, like, good things, right, that you would want to have. And just like your food, right? You don't want your food to be expired when you buy it. It's the same principle. And so that's why I think it's great, because it's so much safer. You know, and just like it's a lot more healthy, and people like less people are getting in trouble. And I personally am just confused why the whole country hasn't adopted that yet. But that doesn't seem far off. So
no, exactly. And I had actually read an article, God, way back when Colorado became legal. They said that they made so much money, the state, so much money that the state pays for the education system now. In Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, what are you guys waiting for? What have we been waiting for all this time?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cha-ching,
I don't know. The easy things. Why does easy things have to be so hard? I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I ask myself that a lot, too.
Makes no sense to me. So now How to Hack Birth Control was released on the 1st, I think, right? Premiered on the 1st?
Yeah, public screening. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
nice.
We had a really cool event. Yeah, it was super fun. We did a Q&A afterwards. That was also really cool with three of the like awesome actors involved. And we had another press screening, you know, I think it was at the end of August, that also went really well. It never gets old listening to people laugh at your work. You know, that's always so makes me so happy just to be like, okay, my jokes are funny. Cool. But like the screening went great, you know, and people really, really appreciated it and seemed to have a great time. So I'm just happy to show it to people, you know.
Yeah. And you know, based on our conversation and what I've read about you, I mean, you're very original. So I see that, like, it's great. It's great. And I love it. I love it. I mean, who would have thought to put a spin on what you're doing, the way you're doing, and with comedy, no less.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting experience, like, doing this for 15 years, especially, I feel like the first 5 or 6 was me just, like, fighting to be taken seriously, you know?
Mm.
There's this story that I tell people about that's true, is that when I was a PA forever ago, and one of the executive producers of this company walked by to meet another PA, and he says to, you know, both of us something like, what are you guys, like, what do you want to do? And the other PA, who's a guy, he's like, oh, I want to be a screenwriter. I just signed up for a class at UCLA, and I started writing a script, so I'm almost done with the first act. And he's like, oh, so cool. Send it to me when you're done. And he's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I actually want to be a director. Like, you know, I did a feature, blah, blah, blah. I just shot a pilot for my next feature, about to do a web series. And he goes, cool, and then leaves. You know, so it's like, that's kind of what it was before the Me Too movement. But I feel like that also gave me a lot of time to find my voice. Would I have appreciated getting sort of taken serious earlier? Of course. But I did learn a lot during that time about how to reach people and what's going to engage an audience, you know, because lots of people can write things or make a movie, but to actually make something that people want to listen to, that people want to watch, is a totally different story. So that's kind of
right.
How I got to where I am now.
Yeah. And it's definitely original, and I would have never thought of it myself, which is great. I mean, not that I would, but I'm just saying, who would think of that, you know? And it's great. I mean, you spent the first 15 years doing a lot of other things, different topics and mm-hmm. subjects, but now you've got like the next 15 years of hacking topics.
I know. It's just like, it's very important to me to bring these messages out there. I didn't realize how lucky I was to get the education I got. Even though it was a public school education, you know, it was much better than many other people's, which is kind of shocking to me that everyone wouldn't be given such a great opportunity to grow their mind, you know. And once I started realizing that, I realized that I just wanted to, you know, help people learn. It's like the simplest thing, you know. And
well, you
got to show people, yeah.
You got to hurry up and get that one about on the disinformation.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe you could save the world.
Disinformation is crazy.
Maybe you could save
the
country.
We got to figure out something.
Yeah, and quick.
People need
and
to
quick.
Start believing the truth.
Yeah.
Disinformation
quickly.
Is crazy.
Yeah. So now on December 3rd, you said you're doing another screening, and that is tell everybody mm-hmm. about that again.
So that's going to be online. It's going to be a virtual screen. It's going to be at 5 p.m. on December 3rd. You can find out about it by going to birthcontrolhacks.com, and you can sign up for our mailing list there. It's super easy. Just type in your email and hit enter, and we'll be sending out updates about that then. And also, if any other things come up between now and then, because, you know, there's 2 months between now and December 3rd, so who knows what's going to happen? I don't. So the world
right.
seems to be shifting on to the drop of a dime, you know, so like
right.
anything
now,
anything
now,
possible.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I think I just got an idiot moment here. Now, How to Hack Birth Control is a series, not a TV series. It's a series of the topics that you're doing. So this is the first one, and then you're moving on to the
mm-hmm.
next. Right, because I was going to say, where
next,
can people see the series? You know, when's the next show going to be on? You know, when's the next segment?
I know.
You know?
It's a little, I know it's a little like disappointing to be like, stay tuned and we'll let you know, but also stay tuned and we'll let you know, because I'm really excited. I have a very good feeling about the plans for the How to Hack series, and that it will be available on a major streaming service in the very near future. So just sort of keep your ear to the ground or sign up to the mailing list, again, birthcontrolhacks.com, and we will let you know as soon as it's available.
Cool. And mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought while you were talking. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It is
oh,
Sunday.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, God. Oh, geez. You know why I don't write questions down? I'm just having a conversation with you. So, you know, and
sure.
That's what I wanted to say. How many times, well, this is your first series in doing this mm-hmm. hacking series. I can't ask this. Forget it. I was going to say, how many times has it happened to you where you put it in the can, it's out, it's released, and you said, oh, shit, we had another thing we could have added in there?
I mean, I'll say the truth. You say that with every film, right? But that's
yeah,
like
I guess
every
so. Every
film
project,
is,
yeah.
It's,
yeah,
it's
it
all
happens
a learning
with me
experience.
Too, with music, yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm, yeah, it's especially, you know, any artist, you ask them, like, would you have changed this? And they'll probably say yes and no. Like,
right.
Which is how I feel too, because I learned so much making How to Hack Birth Control, and that I'm sure when I make How to Hack Climate Change next, I will have the exact same answer for you after that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I told you it was a stupid question. I know. That's why I was sitting there thinking.
Stupid.
Well, no, because like there are so many things, like the one on disinformation. I mean, you could put a million mm-hmm. things in there. You may never finish that.
Yeah, I mean, for
you know
that
what I mean?
One, it's just, I really, yeah, I want to show people how to source things, because you can source articles, shows, you can source anything in under 5 minutes if you know how to do it. And I mean, I know there's so much more disinformation than that, but I just, you know, like, there's so much clickbait out today, a quick, easy grab you in, and it could be completely wrong, and then people base their entire lives off of a total lie, which is insane. So, you know, but also just figuring out how to reach those types of people without making them be told that they're idiots, whether or not they are, is a question, a different question.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we won't go there. We won't go there.
Yeah.
We won't go there.
Yeah.
I call them, as I say, common sense. Oh, God, what was it? Oh, geez. I wrote it down the other day. You're going to like this. Hang on one second. I got it in there. You're going to like this. Hold on. I got to find it. Yeah. You're going to like this. Hold on. I just got to find it. Where is it?
You can just talk about Thomas Paine while you're
crap. Hang on. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Listen to this. Common sense is not a gift. It's a punishment because you have to deal with everyone who doesn't have it.
Oh, that is so accurate.
Right? Oh, my
God.
That's
so true.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So now where can everybody go see How to Hack Birth Control other than the December 3rd screening? Can they only see it on the December 3rd screening?
Not to be disappointing, but as of right now, you can only see it on December 3rd. The trailer is online, again, at birthcontrolhacks.com or on my website, which is sassymohen.com, S-A-S-S-Y-M-O-H-E-N. There's also a lot of other cool content there that I've done, like Weedland, some, you know, Happy Holidays, other web series and shorts that I've done there as well. The reason Birth Control's been out more is because it's going to be out even more than it could be currently, very near future. So there's just a lot of really cool deals and stuff happening about it at present that I'm really stoked on.
Wow. Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I really enjoyed talking to you. We definitely,
yeah,
you
too.
I don't know if it's the New York thing, but you know, we think alike and I like that. So, and I love your concept.
Common sense.
Yeah, I love your concept. I love everything about what you're doing, and I can't wait to see another one. Now that I know that the other ones are up on the site too, I'm going to go back and check those out, but I can't wait to see another one come out of the series.
Yes, thank you so much for having me again. This has been so fun.
Oh, God, no, that's all we do is have fun here. But listen, if you want to come on back with your other projects, please don't hesitate.
Oh, I love to. Thank you.
Well, everybody, Sassy Mohen. I flumble
okay.
a lot with my speaking. Because like I said, I'm thinking as I'm talking to you. I'm not reading off of anything.
Sure.
This is all
totally.
Off the cuff. All off the cuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, everybody, go to sassymohen.com, SassyMohen.com, or howtohackbirthcontrol.com. I said it without...
No, birthcontrolhacks.com.
That's the website. Birth Control Hacks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not how to. That's the series. Birthcontrolhacks.com, folks. And please go learn and laugh at the same time.
yes.
Because we all need to. We got to know what the hell is going on. There's too many people, like we were saying, Sassy and I, giving out the incorrect information. And if you are, I don't know, what makes them think? I can't. Sassy, I could go on and on about this. You know you could too.
I know.
It's like, oh, I don't get it.
But I love that. Learn and laugh. That's a great thing to encourage. Learn and laugh, you know?
Absolutely. Laugh and learn at the same time. And really, maybe then it'll sink in. I don't know. Something's got to give, and maybe this is it. So
for sure.
How to Hack Birth Control. Sassy Mohen, thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you. And again, you got an open door here. Come on back anytime you want.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody,
cool.
Sassy Mohen. Sassy, thank you so much. Take care,
hon.
You. Thank you. Good luck.
Bye.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. Well, folks, like I said, I try so hard not to get political here. You know that. I try. But any conversation you have about what's going on, it falls back to what happened with, I can't. I'm not going to. But again, Sassy, she's got it. The right idea to put together these hacks to show you how to go about doing. And for those of you who don't know what a hack is, it's a simple way of it's the new slang in the internet world is hack is the fastest, easier way to do something, and you're surprised by it because you're like, wow, I can't believe it. After all that time, I was doing it this way or whatever. Blah, 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 blah. But, and to put, a comedy spin on it, I mean, that's just fabulous. So I hope people get it and understand, and something's got to happen, guys. Something's got to happen because this can't go on. I mean, honestly, it cannot go on anymore. Anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed last night's show. Again, the sound quality, I'm so, so sorry. I am. I figured out how to do it. It's going to take a lot of, I don't know. I'm going to do it, but I don't know if it's going to, if the platform can handle the number of songs that I enjoy playing. So I don't know how many I'm allowed or if it's based on time. That's one thing I got to look at. But I figured out how to do it. So that's the good thing. So, but I'm going to have a great, I got two great music nights coming up for you. I'm not even going to say what it is yet because I don't want anybody else to do it. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll let you know as we get closer. So on. The calendar is ready. It may not be ready on the site because I just sent it over to my buddy today. So it may not be up on the site itself. However, I have it here because I finally sent it over. And just waiting on everybody to confirm times and everything. And it just takes a lot of time. So anyway, we've got October 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to do 9 p.m. for a while, guys. It seems to work better with scheduling for everybody. So that's good. That's good. So we've got actor Tim Mullen on October 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern. And he's from the series, I believe it may be on Netflix. I gotta look at that. Adam's Package. And that looks hysterical, too. So I'll know more when I look at it. And then on the 10th, we've got Gabrielle Stone. Gabrielle Stone, she's an author. And you know what? She's also Dee Wallace's daughter. I totally forgot about that. When Dee was on, she told me about her daughter. And I was dying to meet Gabrielle. And yeah, she's an author and she's got a new book out. The Ridiculous Misadventures of a Single Girl. So that's we're going to talk about that. And then Carmine Apici's coming back on the 13th, and we're going to talk to him. And then on the 16th is going to be a music night. I'll tell you about it when we get closer. Come a little bit closer, you're not gonna be, sorry. And then on the 17th, we've got musician Jonathan Edwards, right? It's J. Edwards, but I believe it's Jonathan. And then on the 20th, actress Zoe Yeoman. And the 23rd is going to be another great music night. That's going to be great, great, great. And on the 24th, Scott May from the Ides of March. He's got a new project of his own now. I believe it's his own project. I just don't know the name of the band. We haven't discussed it yet. So, and then coming back on the 28th, Mr. Marshall Thompson of the Shy Lights. He just got his star on the Walk of Fame. How cool is that? I'm so excited to have him back. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. And you know the Shy Lights. So, and the 31st is still up in the air. Not sure if we're going to do anything for Halloween. Or not. I'm trying to get something Halloween for you guys, and I want to get something big. And same thing happened last year. I waited too long. It's like a Christmas song. You have to write it in, like a day after Christmas, and then have it ready for the next Christmas. That's how long a Christmas song takes. You know, they don't just put them out in December. They work on them all year. So, yeah, Halloween's the same thing. If they're horror stars or anything, Halloween celebrities, I mean, you got to book in advance. This is their time. They're big around this time. So I try to get them. But anyway, we got a great, 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 great month with Rocktober. I love saying Rocktober. Rocktober. Yes, like I said, I love October. I hope you guys do too, especially on the East Coast. The weather is just phenomenally perfect. Light jacket, maybe. We're not there yet, but maybe towards the end of October, You might need a light, not jacket, maybe like a light sweater or something. Not even a sweater. I don't know. Something. I like to wear jackets or whatever. I'm always cold. So I always have a sweater on. I'm freezing. I actually have a fleece jacket on now. I'm freezing. So, oh, my God. What was I going to say? Yeah, so October is great. October is great. Halloween is my favorite holiday. Hopefully we'll get some decorations out this year. I haven't been able to put them out, and I asked the kids to do it, and they say, yeah, we'll help you. And then either I don't bring it up or neither one of us brings it up. And, well, last year, that's what happened, the last 2 years, actually. Neither one of us brought it up, so it didn't happen. Same thing with the Christmas decorations outside. I'm talking about the decorations outside, you know. It's just a lot of work, and it's rough for me anyway, but... yeah, but it's on a Sunday this year. Be careful. Be careful. The kids are going to be out like crazy, and it's dark out. And, you know, it gets darker, so much darker. I mean, it is dark anyway. And the other night, I heard geese flying south for the winter, so it's coming. And I also read, I don't know if you guys saw, we're in for some winter. I hear we're supposed to have a nasty, nasty winter. So I hope that's not the case. I really do. Because, man, rain has really sucked. So I hope snow doesn't suck. I mean, a regular rain storm has turned into a monsoon around here, which is unheard of. But, anyway, yeah. What did I see? I finally saw The Sopranos today, the new movie, The Saints of Newark. And we had one of the actors on the other night, Charlie Trussillo. He was an extra in it. And I finally got to see it today. And it was okay. I thought it was good. I just, too much hype around it. And I was looking for so much more. But anyway, I did enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. And I just hate when something's so hyped up and then you finally get to see it and it's a letdown to you, not everybody, just to me personally. You know, it's my opinion, that's all. And, you know, and you have yours. So you know, you think what you want to think. Yeah, I thought it was okay. It was good. So God, there was something else I was going to tell you guys. I can't recall. Man, I've been just yapping tonight. What's today? Sunday, 9:45, right? I don't know what I was going to say. I don't remember. I'm sorry. I had I read the calendar. We did that. Yeah, that's it. Oh, Halloween. Be careful out there. The kids are going to be out. I know by me, they're going to probably be starting on a Sunday. And last year they missed out. So, oh my. They're going to be wanting some candy this year, you know. So, I know by me, they normally, on a normal weekday before a pandemic came, I have trick-or-treaters coming until 10, 11 o'clock at night. I mean, this is Grand Central here on this street. It's just crazy how the kids, they start early and, man, they don't stop, which is great. I mean, I'm happy for them. It's a lot of fun, you know. But, all right. Well, listen, thank you again to Sassy Moen. What a wonderful person. And I like her. And she's got common sense. How you like that? Something that's very rare these days. I don't understand why. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Anyway, go check it out. How to Hack Birth Control. And the website is It's hackbirthcontrol.com. And then also on her website, Sassy Moen, SassyMoen.com. You can see her other shorts. That she has out there, the horror one, Fear Actually, Weedland, and I forgot the other one. I have it here. I think I wrote it. Oh, no, she mentioned it. Happy Holidays. It's not on I didn't write it down. So you can see those. I'm going to go check those out. They're probably like 10 minutes long. So go to the website. Check it out, sassymoen.com. And how to hack birth control will be screening again on December 3rd, and you get all that information, I guess, at the website. So go check that out. Sassy, thank you so much. Guys, we will see you on Wednesday again with actor Tim Mullen from Adam's Package. And that's going to be a lot of fun, too. So everybody, have a good night. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday. The only thing I don't like about the 9 o'clock show is I start to poop out. You hear it? I'm starting to lose my oomph. It happens. I'm tired. But anyway, here we go. We got, you know what? Be kind, everybody. Have a great week, and thanks for listening. And thank you, Sassy Moen. How to hack birth control. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night, and we'll see you Wednesday. Tim Mullen. Mullen. I can't even pronounce his name. Tim Mullen. It's got to be Mullen, but I know Mullen, and they spell it M-U-L-L. This is M-O-L-L. So I don't know, Mullen or Mullen. I'll find out, won't I? And so will you. All right, everybody. Be kind. See you guys. Have a great week. And we'll see you guys around. Thank you, Sassy Moen. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.